But right now we want to welcome Representative Huizenga to our airwaves this morning on the phone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good to be with you on this solemn day.
Yeah, let's. Can we go back 12 years? Where were you on September 11, 2001?
Yeah, I was working for Peter Hoekstra, and I was back in Michigan and getting ready to leave. And actually, I was getting ready for Pete's golf outing that was going to be happening at the end of the week. He was out here in Washington, and my wife called me up and said, something's going on. I'm watching TV. I saw the second plane go in, and I knew instantly. I knew it was an attack, and called out here to Washington, interrupted the staff meeting and said, you have to turn the television on. And shortly after that is when the Pentagon happened, and just chaos ensued. So it was, in fact, I was just down reminiscing with a couple of my other colleagues who were talking about being out here at the time, and the sonic booms from the aircraft, the fighter jets coming over Washington D.C. trying to find the other plane that ended up hitting the Pentagon, and that kind of thing. I mean, it was quite a day.
It certainly was. It was just surreal. Did you at that time? I think Congress members and staff, they all had BlackBerries issued, I think, and I don't know if the network went down at some point or what.
No, unfortunately, I was did not have a BlackBerry. BlackBerries were fairly new. I had a Nextel. That whole system went down. Phone lines couldn't. I mean, everything was jammed. Our district office kind of became command central because everything happening here was sort of out of commission. And it was a strange day. Suddenly, not seeing any planes fly and all those things. And obviously, nobody knew. Nobody knew what type of attack it was. And in fact, I was just watching a replay of the plane going in. They're playing it in real time. And the commentary was, well, maybe there's air traffic control problems.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it was, you know, America just didn't know what it was getting itself into.
All right, and now 12 years later, we're talking about potentially another conflict, although it really looks like it's on hold after the president's speech last night with Syria. What was your reaction to the, 17, 18, 19 minutes out that the president spoke? And really, to me, it was, we shouldn't allow chemical weapons use, but we're not going to do anything right now. And even if we did something, it wouldn't be that much. I just didn't get it.
Yeah. Well, it was very confusing. There's no clarity, and unfortunately, I think that's a criticism. And I say unfortunately because I would like to have this administration have a clear foreign policy, right, left, and center. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle, colleagues on my side of the aisle, nobody can figure out what the direction of this administration is. It's literally like stumbling around in the dark. And look, this is also the one-year anniversary of Benghazi.
Right.
You look at what has been happening. There is no clear goal and objective. This apparent delay, which I'm glad is happening, an exploration of the international community getting control of the weapons, the chemical weapons that they have, wasn't a plan. It was by accident, and unfortunately led by the Russians, not by us. So we're sort of thrashing around here as a nation, and it doesn't do anybody any good.
You would not have voted for the use of force. Is that correct?
Correct.
Here's
one of the reasons why. A couple other reasons why. One, I don't believe we have a clear goal and objective. I don't believe the president or Secretary Kerry has laid that out effectively. The other thing is having us truly basically go it alone is not good in the long run. This needs to have an international response. If there is going to be a response, I think it needs to be led by the Arab League, the neighbors of Syria, who say, "Hey, we cannot let this stand." They were able to put aside their differences, sectarian differences, religious, regional differences, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And the fact that they can't do this now is sad commentary on their inability to lead in the region.
And it seems to me that with Syria, we've got both sides of that conflict. There's not a lot of great people to ally yourself with. Not far from there, yeah. In Egypt, you've got obviously what looks like a military coup, but they can't call it that because there's funding issues related to Egypt. And on the other side, there's not a lot of great choices there as well. Israel is obviously always under severe threat. I mean, what are we doing in the Middle East, and are there any good choices for the president and the national security team to make?
Well, and that's the thing people have to remember. Oftentimes, in the position that the policymakers are in, it's not good choice versus bad choice. It's bad choice versus really bad choice, and you got to go pick one, right? That is sort of an ongoing conundrum that we have. But part of the problem is if we applied the same criteria that we are now to Syria, we would be in Egypt. Frankly, we would probably be in North Korea, a place that has starved tens of thousands of its own people, has concentration camps, has killed people. You know, where are we going to start applying a true line? If there's going to be an international response, it better be an international response that we are part of, not something that we are just going to be doing all on our own.
Is your sense that there is any way to really have this, what this proposal will do, is which is kind of flush out the idea of chemical weapons, which until this week, the Assad regime didn't admit to. Everybody knows they have them, but he wasn't admitting to it until yesterday. Is there any real way to hold that regime's feet to the fire in terms of getting rid of those chemical weapons, or is this merely a delay tactic which doesn't do anybody any good?
Yeah, hard to tell. I think it really depends on the Russians' willingness to put up with Assad, and there have been a lot of reports that they had been sort of at the end of their rope dealing with him as well, partially because of him doing dumb things like this, and it was making life difficult for Russia, who had been their strongest ally and had been literally blocking things at the UN Security Council and those types of things. So I think we have to let this play out a bit. To find out if Russia and if Syria is serious about it, if the surrounding Arab nations are serious about it, it's certainly worth allowing a little time to see if this can come together. And it shouldn't be forever, obviously, but again, we've got to make sure that if there is a response, it's a unified international response, not just us out on our own doing this.
Could you see yourself ever getting on board one of those, a vote for a response, if everything lined up?
It would have to be so tight, and it's so far down the road, and at this point, and not conceivable. You got to deal with what the realities are in front of you.
Sure. Do you have a sense that the president would go forward with some strike if he did not get congressional approval?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's definitely an unanswered question. There's a lot of people on both the right and the left who believe that he doesn't need direct authorization from Congress due to the War Powers Act. And it's interesting to point out to my friends on the other side, who were some of the most vocal opponents. A lot of them voted and gave authority to President Bush for both Iraq and Afghanistan, where we went in with 48 other countries into Iraq and even more into Afghanistan. They've kind of gotten historic amnesia about some of these things and are now tying themselves in knots trying to justify where the president is on this one. But we've got to make sure that we keep an eye on this area. It's vital to Israel and to our national interests. Turkey is a part of NATO. And it's still remains extremely vulnerable.
All right, I know you got to get running here, but other than national security, Congress has an awful lot on its plate before now and the end of the year.
Yeah, we do. We're dealing with debt ceiling and continuing resolution. Obviously, the situation on with immigration and with health care. not going away. In fact, until Syria happened, on all my town hall meetings, the dominant issue had been immigration. That really has switched, obviously, based on what's been happening in the last week and a half.
All right. We appreciate the time this morning. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Evan. Let's make sure nobody forgets this somber day. And as we all think of those families and victims, and keep them in our thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.